Thank you for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Taylor.
So today, a little different. I'm not physically in a space. Well, I'm in a space, but I'm not in like an office space. Like I'm in a vehicle doing this today. So it's like a moving space.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, a space is a space, right?
Yep. You got it. It is a space. And what I think is really exciting is we have a full crew in this group today. And I think no first timers. This is good. Everybody's been here before. So this should be pretty simple, real easy gig to get through with this group, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Real easy group.
Well, hopefully you have an easy icebreaker for them so that they don't panic.
Yeah, so I kind of went with the AI initiatives.
So let's introduce everybody that we have in with us today. Obviously, we're going to start with ladies first. So we would like to welcome back our very own Olivia Antonelli. Welcome, Olivia.
Thank you. Happy to be back.
Yes, good. Maybe a little tunes at the end of this, if we're lucky.
If we're lucky, I'll go fetch the harmonica.
I love it. I also would like to welcome in, it's been a little bit, actually, I think, Ron, no, maybe not too far back, but we like keeping you on this topic because it keeps you on your toes and you're pretty good at it. So welcome back, Ron Giard.
Thank you very much, Haley.
You're welcome. And, well, for you, sir, I'm not quite sure. I could probably come up with a good couple of jokes for you. However, there's some good things I do know about you, Gary, that are very interesting, and maybe I'll share them at another time. So welcome in, Gary Tavares.
It's G-rated, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I will. I totally G-rated. I just, yeah. Very interesting things I learn from you every time I talk to you, and I love it. So good stuff. And, finally, last but not least, welcome back with us, Matt Healy, who absolutely loves being a part of the podcast.
Thanks, Haley. It's definitely my favorite thing to do during the week. I also have some jokes about Gary if we need them.
Oh, good. This is gonna go real well for you today, Gary.
Ron's usually good for a few too.
You get it from all sides.
Well, Kevin, then there you go. I mean, good luck with this group, and let's see how this icebreaker hits.
It's a good one. I'll jump right into it. If you could have an AI assistant handle one task in your daily life, what would it be and why? And it could be anything from like emails, or it could be something physical as well. For instance,
G-rated.
G-rated, of course. For me, I despise doing laundry.
Oh.
I hate it with a passion. So if I had an AI assistant that could handle anything but one task, it would be to do my laundry. That would be it. That would be mine. I hate when I hear my laundry is going and then it suddenly stops, because then it comes into my mind, oh my God, I either have to switch it or I have to fold it. And it's just horrible. It puts me in a bad mood. And that's what I would have my AI assistant handle for me.
Oh my gosh. Liv, how about you?
I'm thinking like a robot, an AI powered robot that cleans the bathroom. I'm gonna stick with the household chore theme. I just don't like doing it. Needs to be clean, needs to be spotless, but I don't want to be the one doing it. But unfortunately, that's the way it is. So if anyone knows any bathroom cleaning AI robots out there, I would certainly purchase that really quick.
Oh my gosh. Ron, how about for you?
Yeah, it's all this physical stuff, huh?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the, I got some seasonal aspects to mine is shoveling snow in the winter.
Oh.
And mowing the grass in the summer.
Oh, so it has like a switch, Ron, where it goes from one season to the next.
Yeah, same AI assistant, but.
Oh, okay. Oh, dual purpose for one AI assistant.
I like it.
Yeah, that's good. Gary.
I'm on the same lines, Ron. I'm okay with the snow if I could get the assistant to do rake leaves.
Ooh.
I just the fall leaves. We got to take care of those.
Okay.
Breaking leaves is the worst.
Leaves in for work stuff is, Ron, we need a survey assistant.
Oh, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Everybody wants that.
Yes, we do. Matt, what do you got?
If I had one that I could pick, I would want some type of self-driving car that I could throw my kids into and bring them to all the activities.
I second that.
Leave the house, tell them on my phone on an app where they need to go and drop them off.
I second that with Matt. That is exactly what I would do too. I'm with him 100% on that.
Matt, I thought you were going to say show people how to turn their laptops on correctly.
So there's a couple of those too, Ron. If we want to go with work stuff, if I could have an assistant that taught people the basics of their computers, I would be a happy man. I just spent 45 minutes resetting a password with one of our staff members. So.
Oh my goodness.
Or how not to click on spam or something like that.
And that is why we had to reset their password, Kevin.
Oh my goodness. Oh my. All right. Well, so obviously we are here today to talk about AI, artificial intelligence, not just about that though, but mostly about us as MassMEP, as a manufacturing extension partnership, how we use it, and also about manufacturing and the uses of AI or the possible uses for whether it be processes or solutions of AI in manufacturing. So Kevin and I meet and we get together to talk about what are we gonna discuss. And so I'm sitting there, I go, okay, give me a second. Kevin goes, are you putting this in AI right now? I said, yes, I'm asking AI what I should ask about an AI podcast. And that's where a lot of this came from. So yes, I did.
Who better than the experts, you know?
Right, exactly. They know better than we do. But I do want to start. So Matt, I want to start with you. And the reason I want to start with you is because you kind of are a big catalyst in where this came from the very beginning. And so you've been through a couple of trainings and you've started to really develop us as a center. And so I want to ask you, why AI matters for the manufacturers. So giving us a little bit of an answer on that. So we had a couple of points that were dropped in here, the current state of AI adoption in manufacturing, how AI enhances efficiency and competitiveness, and addressing common misconceptions and fears about AI. So maybe if you can, maybe give us a point from each one of those bullets from where you are with AI with MassMEP.
Sure. So, why AI would matter for manufacturers today? We're trying to make, or what AI is trying to do is make their operations, more efficient, precise, cost effective. And if we look back, larger manufacturers have been using this stuff for years, whether it was in, quality control or like their ERP system, something of that nature. But now we can have small or medium-sized companies, it's more affordable for them, so they can use some tools that can get into quality control or vision systems or predictive maintenance, production planning, that type of thing to just help them out and streamline some of the their processes. We're seeing a growing interest in AI adoption, but I think the biggest barrier, and that's kind of where we were going to have an event this week, and the weather might get kind of in the way of that, but it's how do we apply AI practically in the workplace and make it, effective for the company and for our clients. I think that's where we are today. We're trying to push out some of these lower cost solutions, and help, some of our clients figure out how they can, use some of this technology to just help with their everyday operations. Some of the, I guess some of the hurdles or misconceptions that we might hear is, will AI replace jobs? So you hear it, you see it in the news. I don't think it replaces a job per se, but I think it can enhance what we can do as workers for our jobs. It can make us more efficient. So it can take our repetitive tasks and, help automate those tasks, and hopefully lets us focus on like higher value work or more value-added work, throughout our day-to-day processes.
So, Ron and Gary, I wanted to get kind of your perspective on some of the pain points that our clients, the manufacturers in Massachusetts, are seeing with AI, and kind of what are the barriers that they're seeing to implement AI into their manufacturing facility. What are you guys hearing?
So, Ron, do you want me to come clean?
Yeah, you go first,
Okay.
and I'll clean
Yeah.
up.
Hey, listen, Haley used AI to generate, her agenda. Ron and I met this morning, and we used AI to come up with responses and examples to her agenda.
Oh my God, this is going south real quick over here. I love this. I can't wait to hear it. All
And
right, Gary,
actually,
let it rip.
some of them were very good, right, Ron? Yeah. Oh, I didn't mean to, implicate you, Ron.
That's okay.
But yeah, there were some really good. Ron and I were talking about AI, and I think there's also some confusion as to what AI is today. Is got a little bit different meaning than AI's been around for a while, right? I mean, when I was working in industry, we had digital models, finite element. We were using artificial intelligence, 30 years ago at the manufacturing level. You're using it more right now on the machines, right? All the machines now have sensors and can talk to each other. And so you tie that into tracking. You talked about maintenance, hours, times. When should I do my maintenance? So it's been around, I think, Ron, right, in the manufacturing end for a while. It's now getting excitement because you're tapping into the I'll call it the administrative end, but it really is a, a kind of a digital encyclopedia that you can draw from these days on any subject, not just, equipment.
Yeah, I think it's important, as Gary, you said, this is not new, right? It has been around, and Matt alluded to it as well, especially on automation. Automation has been using AI for a very long time, but it was that arena that it was getting most used. Scanners and information in machines that were being pulled. So there's been that part that has been out there. More recently, it comes in the form of ChatGPT and some of these other platforms that makes it easier for the I'd say the more common folk to understand in regards to how best to use it. Haley or Kevin, you alluded to, what are some of the hurdles right now to implementation? I'll use myself an example is I wasn't comfortable with it. I didn't understand it. And so it's that fear of what it is. But with Matt's help, just understanding how it how it's used. It has become very effective for me from the standpoint of information management and data management. So when I think of, when I say that, what does that mean? What that means to me is meetings with clients, whether it's virtual or in person, actually just capturing everything that's said. It does obviously a much better job of getting all of the inputs and then providing in short order through the use of some of these platforms, a summary real quick that maybe in the past took me, 3, 4 hours to collect and then go look up. And even at that point, I was only capturing a fraction of what we talked about. So I would say that one of the big hurdles is just getting people comfortable with what it looks like on a daily basis. So those are some initial thoughts around, the use of it right now for me anyways.
I think it's pretty funny because in my mind, I'm just thinking about it's very similar to how you guys use AI and going around the facility, and like you guys will have AI companion kind of listening to the conversation and whatnot. It reminds me a lot about sitting in class, like back in college or whatever, and either you focus really heavily on taking the notes or you focus heavily on what the teacher is saying. And I always thought that I was a horrible multitasker, and I couldn't seem to listen as well as writing down notes and listening to what the teacher was saying. So that was always a struggle for me. And like in this day and age, I can only imagine how many like students are using AI in the classroom as like a companion or whatever to hear what the teacher is saying and also taking down
Right.
those notes. So it's a great like multitasker for sure.
I like that as an example because it's really, are you comprehending and paying attention to what's being said and
Exactly.
observing versus just, so whenever, I go in and sometimes I'll use our slide deck to do a presentation and I see people taking notes and they say, I'll send these to you after. And it's like, oh, they
Yeah.
put their pens down and now it's a conversation.
Yep.
And we can make it's a better meeting overall.
I wanted to kind of dive into to Matt and Olivia and kind of explain how MassMEP is using AI and kind of the examples of manufacturers kind of successfully integrating AI and what we're doing to help those manufacturers.
Internally for MassMEP, the way that we're starting to use AI, we've been using it for, let's say, half a year to a year at this point, off and on. We're definitely getting more into it, but we have what I'll just call a team subscription, the ChatGPT, for about half the staff right now that we're doing a lot of trials in. That keeps all of our information inside of what's called a RAG model, so all of our information stays confidential, it stays secure, and it makes sure that we keep our client confidentiality. At a high level, we want to make sure that we don't leak any information out. So that's one thing that we're doing. We have some custom, I'll call them chatbots, but there's some custom GPTs that we're using, whether it's for proposals with our BDA team with like Gary and Ron. We have one that looks at P&L statements and goes through it and figures out where the client is having some issues, and we can give them some recommendations on that. And we're also using some technologies. One of you, I think it was Ron that just said it, about taking notes. So we're using some note-taking AI technologies that takes notes for us and also summarize our notes and give key action points. It can give follow-up emails. So there's a lot of different small things that we're trying to, implement as we go along. We don't want to throw everything at everyone at once. So we've been trying to chip away. We meet about once a month as, we have a team that's been going through a lot of these technologies, and we're figuring out what's working for us and what's not at this point.
And to piggyback off that, it's been trial and error in the supply chain side of things as well. But certainly finding ways to use that to support our efforts at MassMEP. I've spoken on the podcast before about how MassMEP leverages our network to help companies find suppliers if they're experiencing a disruption or if they're looking for a supplier for whatever the reason might be. And AI has certainly been helpful in that space. So ChatGPT does a decent job helping find suppliers. If we put in the specifications of what we're looking for, it will give responses. And we've been looking for ways to augment that as well. So we have a project going on right now, really focused on getting a better idea of who we have here in Massachusetts, and really drilling down into the capabilities of Massachusetts manufacturers. So we're using web scraping paired with artificial intelligence, meaning that we have a list of all the manufacturers here in Massachusetts. We have their website, and what we can do is use AI to go out and scrape or pull key categories out of their website. That way, we can get kind of overarching information on who our manufacturers are. So we can say, tell us who the manufacturers in Massachusetts who have ISO 9001, who also do CNC machining. So we're able to go out a lot more efficiently and gather a lot of information at one time and then feed it to our AI bot to organize that in a way that's meaningful for our center. So we can figure out better who we have here in the state, so we can put forth new initiatives, so we can help companies find suppliers if they have a need. There's a lot of different things we can do with this data, and it would take a heck of a lot of time to go to every company's website one by one and, pull out the information that we're looking for. So AI has made our life a lot easier in that sense.
So the other bit, I just want to add on to that too, in regards to time, because you mentioned that. It saves time on our part, but it doesn't replace us. So a caution, right, is we get all this great information, it gives us a report, but just to send that out would not be recommended, because it's really us understanding our client and what their, to Kevin's earlier point, their pain point is. And really focus in on those things. Don't overwhelm them with too much information, but focus on, what some of the challenges are. The other thing in regards to time is we can respond to clients quicker.
Yeah.
So to your point, Olivia, understanding in a fairly short period of time by doing what you're doing, what clients are out there versus you reaching out to all of the business development advisors saying, hey, do you know who does this? You can come and tell us, and we can get to the client quicker, and the outreach is faster to clients.
Absolutely.
Something that you said earlier, Ron, kind of stuck with me. I feel like it's kind of similar to automation in a sense, where you're not just going to send out this information without looking it over first. And I feel like a lot of people think with these type of technological advances that you're going to kind of get rid of a job when you're integrating these sort of softwares or automation or whatever it may be. Same thing with like ChatGPT or AI or whatever like that. You still need that person to read the data and understand exactly how you got from point A to point B, rather than just sending it out. And like, you always need someone to look it over. And same thing with automation, in the sense where you can't just have automation in there with nobody running it. I mean, maybe some high tech ones, I guess you could, but you still need those programmers and those people that understand the machines and understand the ChatGPT models and things like that. I kind of wanted to go into with Ron and Gary, how AI will free up some time for manufacturers, maybe not in like big senses, but in more rudimentary tasks and ones that they can just get done quickly and more efficiently with AI. Have you guys heard anything from some of your clients that are maybe using this kind of style for ChatGPT or AI or things like that?
Reporting, any kind of reporting out of
Yeah.
performance. I mean, Ron probably knows everybody in manufacturing, what our output is, throughput, these things that happen on the floor. Right now, a lot of it is put on boards, or even if it is digitally captured, how do I get that quickly into a format that I can see the results and make a decision?
Yeah.
So general reporting is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, some examples, Gary, that I think about, over my career is, and they've been out there, right? This isn't,
Yeah.
in the form of Pareto charts and, SPC data. It's very similar, but it's an extension of it, right? Is putting it into a format from a reporting standpoint that you can make good business decisions and make changes to your process. So I had some thoughts around, the whole, and we touched on this, Gary, when we talked earlier about brainstorming, right? And prioritizing,
Yes.
from a quality related standpoint. So what's that look like, right, in real life? So I think like customer feedback, right, is taking information from your clients and putting into a format real quick so you can see where your biggest challenges are and you focus on those, you prioritize, defects, same thing, whether they're internal or they're coming back from the clients. Those are the types of things that I think AI can take it to another level than we've had in the past. I think of process related, right? Best practices, documentation, all of that, which is, some of the programs we train on, training within industry, is capturing all of this data and put it into a format that would make sense to clients so they can run more efficiently.
Anything, Ron or Kevin, I mean, that has a manual, a document that I really want to know of a piece of equipment. What are the critical, you're talking about maintenance, right? I mean, just throw the document into ChatGPT and have it find those key, data points or points I've got to do maintenance, rather than me look through 4,000 pages just to find the one I'm looking for. So it's a real time saver on things like that.
I mean, it's really incredible how quickly well, I mean, like you guys were saying, it's been around for a little bit in different aspects, but just to see the growth of it within the last couple of years has just been insane. Like you would never really expect. I mean, hindsight is 2020, but I mean, thinking about it like a couple of years ago, I would have never expected that. I mean, thinking about like how much better I could have done in my schoolwork, maybe, or like things like that I'd think of. And it's
This
just
is the administrative power of this stuff that
right.
is so far advanced, right? I mean, Ron, yes, manufacturing stuff, machine language, optimizing speeds of machines and stuff, that's been around.
Yeah.
But the way you can take really, data, information, research, right? We'd love to be somebody that does a research project at school, right?
Yeah, no
How do I
kidding.
tap into that? There's an ocean of information out there that we've never scraped
Yeah.
before.
And you think, I mean, Google was at that top forefront, this is where
Yeah.
you go to search everything. And I wonder if there's been a dip of people going to Google or those search engines since ChatGPT and these other platforms have been out,
Well, you've been using, or I use the Google where you're just typing in a question, right?
Yeah.
And you'll get a certain level or different sites that it goes to.
Yeah.
Now, if you use a tool, whether it's ChatGPT or any of the others, they're scraping those sites
Yeah, exactly.
for
And the
the
thing,
answers that I was looking for.
yeah, and you got to think about like search engine optimization and people paying to be at the top of Google, So maybe this doesn't answer your question, but we want you to look at our website rather than in ChatGPT. They're gonna get you what you're looking for, I suppose. It's incredible.
Some additional things that with our colleagues on the BDA level, right, Bill, looking at profitability, your costs and how profitable are you on specific jobs. It's got that capability, but again, good data in, right, is you just can't plug everything in. And then live by what it spits out is you got to go and analyze it. So, from a strategy standpoint, from understanding your markets, you may be in a certain market and there's a lot of other companies out there. You can go out and do some market research fairly quick by using some of these platforms. So it is very useful in a lot of different areas. And again, we're just scratching the surface right now at MassMEP on how we're using it.
And it's terrifying.
Yeah.
It is the beauty, the one that I really liked, and Ron, you just made me appreciate it more, is you can always go out to Google and you're chasing or researching stuff that's already out there. Now, with AI now and ChatGPT, I can take entire documents, whether it's, an interview I did or manuals or whatever, and I can get feedback or mine that and research that right away. Pull out my summaries, pull out key points. Yeah, it is kind of frightening in that. It's right. It's instant.
I think what's important is you guys are bringing up, like, Kevin, I never even thought about that with the SEO stuff. And so it brings up a really good point on investment. So we always talk a lot about the return on your investment. And obviously, time is money. And if you're saving time, then that helps in that investment part. But I think maybe this is probably more for like Matt and Olivia, where, investments and costs and what is associated with, Matt, you can probably speak to more on the, say, let's use ChatGPT because we're familiar with it, like costs on that side of it. And then potentially from Olivia, from you, when it comes to web scraping, what are we thinking about with cost on that side of things? And is there a cost, like what is the cost associated to the manufacturers in most of this?
I mean, if we want to go with what we're currently utilizing at MassMEP and what, some of our clients could use as well to just make some of their processes more efficient. I mean, a ChatGPT license that protects your data and keeps everything secure is $30 a month for each user. So the amount of time I can get back by using that $30 license is almost immeasurable. So the ROI on that, it's pretty good. These things are going to pay for themselves as long as they're used the right way and people are taught the right way how to use them. So, thinking that way, the manufacturers, they don't have to have a huge upfront investment. I mean, I sat in a meeting with one of our board members a few weeks ago and he brought in what he called his new toy, which was what's called an NVIDIA Jetson. It's a small AI box that you can load up with its own large language model, which that's what ChatGPT is, but you can use one of the other platforms. And he connects a $25 camera to it, and they put some pictures in that they've taken themselves for quality control. It shows good parts, bad parts, and most common defects, that type of thing. And that little box, they start at $200 and they go to $2,000, depending on which one you get. But his was kind of like mid-range, around $1,000. So he paired that with a $25 camera and a $50 lens on the camera, and they don't have anyone inspecting the parts, and their quality has gone up. Their scrap rate's gone down, and they're just able to go through the process quicker and make it more efficient for them. So a pretty minimal investment on their end when we're talking a multi-million dollar company.
And they're building a database, Matt, right, of over time of data on good and bad. And so it's even going to get tighter over time.
Right. It's going to get better over time because you're teaching it, about more small things that come up. So, or small issues, and it can learn from that. And then, like you said, it's going to be invaluable to them in 6 months, let's say.
So, and this is also make augmented reality. It's right. They're connected to AI completely. I think that is so cool. You put a headset on. Right now, I go to YouTube if I want to learn how to do something, change your tire or change your brakes. But now you could just, have a headset, look at your car, and it'll tell you what steps to do first, what to do next. It's
I mean,
pretty cool. It's coming.
you can do stuff like that. I read an article last week about a company that was integrating Meta glasses from Ray-Ban and Meta or Facebook, and they're putting some of their own software onto it, and it's doing the same thing. It's showing them how to do repetitive tasks through a SOP. So, they have their work instructions and they can see what they need to do with the glasses on in real time.
The manufacturers for big equipment for maintenance, and I've seen it, where we've had a set of the headset. The technician is in Germany. He's looking at what you're looking at, and he's telling you what to change, what to look at. So he's troubleshooting a big piece of equipment right there in real time.
Is this something then? Okay, so you guys saying that, I kind of heard two different things there, where one part of it is I hear somebody, anyone can kind of pick this. No offense, Gary. I know you can now
Yeah.
change a tire because you learned how to do it on YouTube or Google, but is that kind of, do you need somebody that needs to be specialty trained in this mat, or is this something that, if you have somebody that has some kind of tech savviness to them, they can pretty much pick this up and kind of move with it?
I mean, it's like, someone mentioned it earlier. You still have to have, even though we have the AI helping the person, there is still some human interaction. So there was someone that either taught the AI the right from wrong, or that's helping the person out in addition to the AI piece. So we're still at the point that we have to have someone involved or human involved. But it can become, as these systems learn, it's going to become less and less, I think. But then we're going to have, a switch in roles on what people are doing in their jobs. So it's going to be ever evolving as we go forward.
Okay.
It's a tool. We can't stress that one enough, that AI is
Yeah.
a tool.
Yeah. It's not a
It's
replacement of a tool.
not going to take over your life. It's a tool. You have control over it.
All right. Well, all right. So, Liv, when it comes to, obviously people hear a big term like web scraping. I think probably the instant reaction is like, oh, this is expensive, or this is going to cost a lot of money. Can you kind of clear that up a little bit and give people a little bit more insight on what it would actually entail for them to either do themselves or to connect with somebody like us that could potentially offer this as an option in the future?
Yeah, so looking at it from the perspective of the mass data collection, there is a cost to it. So when we're going out there and we're scraping thousands of websites, there's a cost to it, and it's actually quite low. I can't give the specifics of it. Sean is our tech guru, and he's been working with all of that, but we've both been pleasantly surprised with how low the number has been in terms of processing it. But I think for our manufacturer's sake, and the perspective that they're looking at this through, their websites are going to be getting scraped by these bots. So it's of no cost to them when our bot or when ChatGPT is going out and scraping for this type of information, which is great. With that, though, I think it's never been more critical for manufacturers to have detailed websites to highlight what it is that they do, their processes, their materials, their capabilities, their capacities, certifications. I think, because people are becoming more reliant, I know I'm not the only one using ChatGPT to find suppliers. So we want to make sure that our clients are being found. And it would be a shame if a company was overlooked, right? Because they didn't have one detail on their website. And as a result, ChatGPT wasn't putting them forth as a match. So I think that's certainly something from a different perspective that manufacturers should be thinking about right now. I've seen a lot of great websites of manufacturers, and I've also seen some not so great. Which is, from MassMEP's perspective, we're very grateful to have deep relationships with manufacturers throughout the state. So as a result, we know they do this process, or they offer this service. But if it wasn't for our relationship, we wouldn't have known, because it's not on their website, or ChatGPT wouldn't have known. So I think that's something to think about as people are continuing to use this resource and tool more. Just making sure that manufacturers are best positioning themselves, so that way they're found for the incredible work that they're doing.
That's an invaluable point right there that you just made. So, and that's obviously another area where, we have connections to, if there is a manufacturer that's struggling, that maybe has never thought of that. I think that's really, really important information for them to now kind of grasp a hold of. And then if you have questions on, what could they possibly be, I'm sure you can reach out to us, and we can kind of give you a little bit more keywords to kind of think about and make sure that you're focusing on. And then obviously we can help. We know people that can develop websites if you're looking that way, or if you are one of these tech savvy people like Gary, who can go on YouTube and Google how to do a website. Maybe one of us can help you too with that a little bit if you need to. But what a great point. Never ever would have thought of telling a manufacturer that about their website. So super great intel on that. I like it. Kevin, what are we thinking here? Do we feel like we're just maybe a little bit smarter today than we were maybe 40 minutes ago from when we started this podcast in the AI world, or what are we thinking?
I think so for sure. I mean, I'm just thinking about where AI is going to go next. And it's scary. It's terrifying. I mean, it's really cool, but it's also scary because like you got the world at your fingertips and you can just ask them whatever and it's only going to get better. And even Gary was making the point with augmented reality, and I have seen some manufacturers be using that with the VR, and they know how to troubleshoot. Oh, it pops up red here because this is wrong, and you got to do something different in this area, you know? It's truly incredible. I'm curious for the group where they think the future of AI in manufacturing is going in the next like 5 to 10 years. Because I never would have even thought about ChatGPT about a couple years ago. So I mean, I can't even imagine what, like Gary, you're making your point about YouTube, searching it up on YouTube. I don't even think that'll be a thing in 5 to 10 years, you
No,
know?
they'll be gone.
Right? So I mean, where do we think it's gonna head next? Do we think it's gonna be all augmented reality? Is that what we think?
I think it's going to come along, and augmented reality is your next push. But the really neat thing about, I think, AI right now is all of those small and mid manufacturing. Everybody's thinking about what is AI. It's the hottest topic out there, and now I think people that were reluctant to even jump into automation, connected devices, as they start to see how easy this can make their jobs and their increase the efficiencies of their businesses, they're going to start adapting even more automation in AI. I think it's going to continue to snowball for the next 5 to 10 years. That marriage between, connected devices, Internet of Things, and artificial intelligence is just going to grow.
It's just a piece of that. It's incredible.
I do think one of the hurdles still too is the balance between the use of AI and the control of it and intellectual property, right? So all these companies have their own intellectual property, whether it's process related, product related, and balancing that because that's their secret sauce in some cases. And so I think that's one of the hurdles that we'll still have to overcome, as a country and as a world, is how do you balance those things? And also, Matt, you said earlier, automation, one of the concerns is it's going to replace jobs, right? People's jobs. So that's been happening, right? Forever, when you look at the automation. But the reality is today versus 15, 20 years ago, there's not enough people for the jobs. So using AI or automation or a combination of all of that makes more sense today because the reality is that we just don't have the number of people to fill those jobs going forward. And so it's an easier push for a lot of clients as we're talking to them because they're going, I can't find people. So how can you help me? And it's all of these things mixed together. And I think that's where we come into play is understanding where they are today, what their biggest challenges are. And those are going to be different next year and the year after. And taking that information we collect and making sense of it for them or with them.
Yeah, I agree, Ron. And to Matt's earlier point, he said that a lot of the larger companies have been using this technology and advanced AI for a while. And I think it's really exciting that it's now becoming accessible and affordable for some of these smaller and medium-sized companies. And from the supply chain perspective, I think I'm looking forward to seeing manufacturers using AI to help augment their demand forecasting, inventory controls, things of that nature. And just using the data that they're collecting and having AI analyze that so they can kind of streamline their operations in that sense. I think right now there's so many technologies out there. It's how do these manufacturers figure out what the right one to use is, what's the best fit for their company. But I think step one was having it be affordable, having it be accessible. And now I think we're in the position where we're starting to navigate the different tools that are out there. And I know MassMEP continues to look forward to kind of be a sounding board, to have conversations with the client, because we're learning as well. But we hope that they continue to utilizing us in that space. It's exciting. It's exciting.
It
It is.
I actually had a question more for Matt. Was I just see the only threat, the biggest threat really is security. I
I
think
was going to say the
Ron
same thing.
mentioned it in terms of IP,
Yeah.
but you know, the more digitally connected the world becomes, it just seems like more opportunities for people to and we've had you know, you read it in the ransomware and all that going on. I mean, how do we, you know, protect against that?
And I think, you know, most of these companies that we're getting AI solutions from or that are trying to bring a mainstream, they have to be very conscious about the security because it's the buzzword and it's something that is very important, cybersecurity. So you know, if you we go back to ChatGPT, it's constantly being updated for those security features. You know, I had another conversation with someone a few weeks ago that internally at their company, they don't allow anyone to use it, but they have an internal version of it. So you can actually take some of this, you can take the database for an LLM, like ChatGPT. You can download it onto your server in the company, and it stays within your company. It won't go out and hit the web, but it has all the knowledge in it. They'll update it every once in a while, but then all the information stays secure. So that's their what we would call a RAG model as well. So there's different instances on how we can keep it secure, depending on what type of information is being put into it. But you know, like you said, Gary, to one of your points, the more connections we have, the more vulnerabilities there are. So there's more opportunity for someone to find a hole. So it's going to become a big thing going forward, and I think that we always have to stay on top of those security threats, you know, as an organization and with our clients. So I think, you know, just by seeing all these instances that happen and articles and talking to people like John Sinopoli at Synogex, you know, one of our partners, just keeping ahead of that curve is what we're going to do to keep everyone safe and, you know, being able to use these technologies efficiently.
All right. Well, it seems to me as though we have dumped a ton of information, whether it was artificial or non-artificial brain power information to our audience. And I think if there's one thing that we want to let everybody know, we always say it is our responsibility as a manufacturing extension partnership to make sure that the manufacturers know and understand that we are here as a partner or as a form of resource. Just, you know, if you just have a question and you're not really sure, we aren't, you know, a membership base. We actually are just a manufacturing extension partnership. We do fall under NIST MEP, which is based out of the federal government, and there is an MEP center in every state. So we're all kind of on the same trajectory right now as an MEP center. This is something that the NIST MEP on the federal side is also working towards as well. And I'm going to do a little brag here, but we are probably one of the few centers that actually is a little farther along with this, I think, than some other centers are. And I think we're starting to see that more. Liv definitely has her finger on that pulse and seeing that because she does work with other centers. But out of the 51 of the centers, I think, you know, we're in the top. We are really pushing forward to it. And I think it's mainly because of the group of people we work with. Obviously, the area that we live in and the industries that we are surrounded by in the manufacturing sphere. So I think that helps with it. But we're here. So if there's a lot of things that were discussed in the past 40 minutes, 45 minutes, and you have questions, reach out to us at the Contact Us page. And even if you're not sure what to pick as the title for it, just pick other and just say you need to talk to Kevin about AI, and he'll be sure to make sure that he gets everybody. their information. He might run it through though, ChatGPT, to get you the answer, but he'll get you the answer.
We'll get the answer. We'll point
Yeah.
them in the right direction.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks all to the four of you for taking your time out of your day to do this with us and help us educate the manufacturers and those that listen to us. We do appreciate it, and we're thankful for it. So for the rest of you, though, thanks for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.